Up next on the Creativity in Motion podcast, we talk with singer-songwriter Rae Solomon about her music career.
Don't psych yourself out. Like, you can do this. And if you tackle it one bit at a time, all of a sudden you're going to look up and it will all be done and you'll be there.
Hi, my name is Chris Hollow.
And I'm Mark Masri, and this is episode number 4 of Creativity in Motion, a podcast about creativity where we talk with creatives of all kinds to find out why they create and especially how they overcome creative obstacles.
In this episode, we'll be talking with singer-songwriter Rae Solomon about maintaining her singer-songwriter career and specifically how she decided to create her own music festival.
Before we get started, we'd like to tell you about our sponsor, Nosy College of Art. Nosy College opened in 1973 as a fine art school and has transformed into Tennessee's only private art college. They offer bachelor's degree programs in commercial illustration, graphic design, video and film, and photography. Starting in September 2021, they will begin offering a brand new culinary arts associate's degree. They have a beautiful 55,000 square foot facility that was built with the artistic student in mind. It includes computer labs, production suites, photography and video studios, and a fully stocked equipment cage. Everything students need to get creative. To learn more about Nosy College of Art, you can visit nosy.edu, that's nossi.edu, where you can see degree program details, faculty information, and samples of student work.
Today we're talking with Rae Solomon, who's a Nashville recording artist, published songwriter, and performer who's originally from Seattle, Washington. Welcome to the show, Rae.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. Well, excited to be here.
We are so glad you're here with us today.
Thanks.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to Nashville and what you've been up to since you got here.
Yeah. So like you said, I'm from Seattle and I have always wanted to be a country singer-songwriter. I told my mom when I was 3 years old that I wanted to sing on country radio, and that's never really changed. I've just had this laser focus. So I started in Seattle. Right out of high school, I put together a band and just started touring. I played every like crappy gig that I could get my hands on until I got an opportunity to open for Blake Shelton for the first time. And all the while I was going to school at the Berklee College of Music, getting a master's in music business, because I figured I already know how to sing. Now I just need to know how to get there. And then once I kind of built up a good following for myself and got to sort of like the ceiling of what you can do regionally, I decided to move to Nashville. And that was, 8 years ago this month, actually. So I just hit my 8 year. I'm almost local now.
Very cool. So how does that work? I've shot a lot of concerts and I've seen like a Blake Shelton, and there's a local act or two, and then there's sort of a smaller national act. Like, they kind of step up. How does an act like Blake Shelton find you? How do you get found so that you can open for Blake Shelton?
So, I mean, this is probably a really frustrating answer for anybody that's listening and wants to know how to do this, but it really is true that there's no path that is the same way twice. Even if I went back and did it myself, I don't know that I would be able to recreate it in that exact way again. It started because I was going to the Berklee College of Music and I wanted an internship with the local radio station in Seattle. And I used a different name so that they didn't know that I was a musician, because I really just wanted to dive in and learn and not have people think that I was trying to get anything out of them. So when that internship ended, there was a karaoke singing contest with the radio station.
I've never heard that word, karaoke.
Karaoke, yeah.
That's awesome.
So anyways, I won this karaoke contest, and it started with... The prize was that I got to open for Love and Theft. Mm-hmm. And so I showed up to open this show and everyone there was like, wait a second, I didn't know that it was you, because then I was using my name, Rae Solomon. And from there, I just kind of got recognized. I got known. Blake actually called the program director of the radio station where I was interning and asked for recommendations. And I, of course, did an amazing job. And so I got invited back. And then once you kind of get your foot in the door, then it's easier from there, because then people know that they can call you back again. So I just kind of became that like regional person that when somebody came through and they needed someone, I was kind of a go-to and was able to establish myself that way. But, you know, I think a lot of it is just putting yourself out there and finding those creative ways to get your name out. There was one show that I really wanted to open and I had no idea how to, you know, get in touch with the agent or anything. So I called the venue and asked them, I was like, who do I need to talk to? Who's the tour manager? And then I called the tour manager, recommendations. And so there's a lot of just making your own way and getting creative, finding ways around the typical way of doing things. Because if there's, you know, Country Okie contest, for example, there's a lot of people that are going out for that. And even if you're amazing, doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to win something like that. So how can you put yourself in a position to win and to be a standout against the crowd?
We talk about that all the time is being, putting yourself in the right place and being open for opportunity.
Yes.
Like if you're not paying attention, opportunity will pass you by.
Absolutely. My grandpa always said luck is where preparation meets opportunity. So
that's right.
Always be prepared and then the right opportunity will present itself.
Yeah, I think you bring up an excellent point is you had made an impression on the program director at the radio station and that's the person that gave you that opportunity because they were the contact point for Blake Shelton and Blake's people and you had to depend on them. So your success in at that moment in essentially a creative industry didn't really depend on your creativity or your songwriting ability or anything. It depended on just straight up business practices and being professional and being prompt and being someone that they could count on and be dependable. And that opened doors.
Absolutely. And I think too, when it comes to networking, which I would say is probably how I've gotten as far as I have, it's a relationship business, especially in the entertainment world, but it's having genuine connection and genuine networking. I mean, I don't ever connect with people thinking, what can they give me or how can I get to the next place? But all of these relationships that you build, if you build them properly, will eventually come back around and everyone takes care of each other in this business. It's just a matter of actually being that genuine person and putting in the time to build those relationships.
I wanted to ask you about your business degree.
Yeah. Right?
So music business. I also have a business degree and I'm in a creative field. I'm a left-brained creative, right?
Totally. Yep.
Obviously there's two ways to go. Either you're strictly creative and you hire all the people that you need, or you bring in management, booking agent, all the people, lawyers and all the people that can kind of do the things you need done and you don't do any of it, or you learn how to do those things to yourself and you sort of set yourself up to be more independent.
Absolutely.
And that's the tack that you took.
Yeah. I mean, nobody is going to care for your career as much as you are. And the people or the artists that are lucky enough to just get that team straight out of the gate, sometimes it works, of course, but I think you need to take your career and your success into your own hands and not depend on anyone else. And that doesn't mean, you know, that you do everything. Like I've got an incredible team that I work with. You know, I've got photographers or videographers or you know, people that help. I've got agents that I work with. But nobody should work harder than you do because nobody will work harder than you will on your own stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
We were talking about you before you showed up.
Ooh, hair's burning.
You know, Chris knows you better than I know you. I just met you today. We were talking about the sort of dual things that you have going on. I'm sure it's more than two, but you're driving your own independent music career. And at the same time, you are working on this much larger project that's far from Nashville, and you've kind of made yourself the boss of that and are the driving force behind that also. And Chris and I, in the course of talking a lot about creativity, like to talk about the different kinds of creativity that you have to employ to solve problems in unique ways. Mm. And you have two situations here. You're creating your own name for yourself, your career, advancing your music, your songs. And at the same time, you're promoting this other huge thing. And so we kind of divided this up into these two different aspects that you have going on. And we're really curious about, you know, one of the things we like to talk about on this podcast is how you overcome creative obstacles and how creativity can help you just overcome, you know, things that seem like it's impossible to overcome. And I know that you've had a lot of that.
Yes. Yeah, a lot.
Yeah. So we wanted to talk kind of in those terms about how you have creatively solved or are creatively solving these problems that you encounter and getting around these huge obstacles.
Oh my gosh, that's a really good question. Actually, as you were asking it, I had a few different points, so I'll try and get to all of them without forgetting my train of thought. In terms of creativity, I think that it's something that you have to define for yourself. When I first moved to Nashville, it was very strange for me to sit down and do the songwriter thing. For anybody that might not know, it's very common in Nashville to schedule writes. You show up at 11 a.m. with two other people, you sit down, you've got 3 hours to write a song, and you have to be creative on command, which was a very different thing for me because when I was, you know, living in Seattle and writing by myself, I wrote whenever the, you know, creative whim came to me, so to speak. And so it's definitely a skill to be able to sit down and write a song at a specific time and be creative on command when you need to be. One of the things that I found out through this pandemic and having to slow down and having to kind of stop and not be as much on a schedule, not write as much in person, because, you know, everything sort of slowed down over the last year, is that I don't like to write 3 or 4 songs a week. I don't like to be on that schedule with my creativity. I found that in the last year, I've only written maybe 7 to 10 songs. However, all of those 7 to 10 songs that I've written this year are worthy of being on a project and are good enough to be on a project. So I found that I don't have to fit into the form that, you know, Nashville or anyone else says that I have to, because I mean, I might not be writing every day, but I'm writing better stuff than I was when I was trying all the time. So I think it's nourishing your creativity, not feeling like you have to fit into any specific box. It's challenging yourself to be creative all the time, but to not feel like you have to be in this rigid sort of thing, because creativity oftentimes isn't that way. In terms of business, and as you're talking about, I've got another large project. I'm working on a couple music festivals that I own. And part of that was because I wanted to be able to support my music career in another way. Again, how can I get creative to support my music as an artist and also do something else? And I think the thing with large projects and any sort of creativity is it can get overwhelming, which stifles creativity. So I always try and think about the end result, what my highest purpose or highest self is, and I just try and show up as that person. And as problems arise, which they inevitably do, I mean, that's all business is solving one problem after another, is just focus on that one thing that's right in front of you. What can I do today? What problem do I need to solve right now? It's eating the elephant one bite at a time, so to speak. You don't have to try and figure out how all of this is going to come about. If I would have freaked out over that when I was first starting in music, I would have had no idea how the hell I was going to get to open for Blake Shelton. You can't often plan out how these things are going to play out for you. So it's trusting yourself, trusting your ability, trusting the universe or God or whoever to guide you where you're supposed to be. And as long as you're putting in that work and showing up with that authenticity and showing up ready to get things done and bring your creativity in its highest form, then things are going to work out for you. And oftentimes a lot better than you could have imagined them working out yourself.
Let's talk about the music festivals.
Yeah.
And give us kind of the overview of that. And then we'll try to tie both in together and figure out if there's parallels between creating a music festival and then maintaining your own personal career.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, music festivals, again, it wasn't one of those things that I was like, oh, I'm going to own a music festival one day. It just kind of happened that way. And I don't want to say it just happened like I didn't work for it, because I've worked very hard over the last few years. But the first music festival started out as an all-female touring music festival. I was just tired of women not getting the same breaks that men do. And, you know, you hear a lot, oh, well, women don't want to hear women, or, you know, women don't sell as well as men, which are all this. It's not true. And so I wanted to do something that would show that women can hold our own next to the men instead of just talking about it. And so that's how that music festival came about. And when you're starting out as a new promoter and as an artist, of course, everyone has their doubts. And so you have to get creative and working around that and being like, okay, you know, how can I make this happen? How can I prove myself in a new field? And, you know, even though, of course, I'm in the music industry and I have a degree in music business, it's still switching to a completely different lens of that world. Starting to plan that all-female music festival was, you know, it's tying in all of the knowledge that you've gotten before and then applying it into this new way. And then, you know, learning from that, as kind of jumping back to our topic of luck is where preparation meets opportunity, I got the opportunity to work on this other music festival because a friend of mine was working with this company who wanted to do some sort of an event. And he just said, well, I know somebody that does that now. And so he called me up and I went in and now I'm working on a whole other music festival. But again, I would never have been able to guess that this is where kind of life would take me. And sometimes it works out so much more beautifully than you could ever plan for yourself.
Now, your first one was a traveling festival, a traveling tour date festival. And the second one that you're working on now is like a week-long event at one place, correct?
Yes. So the first one was a touring music festival. And then this one is just a weekend, but it's a weekend in Florida, which I love. We just got done with all the snow melting here, so I'm ready to go back and be in the sunny weather.
So the opportunity for the second festival, and it'd be great to talk about kind of the specifics about how the challenges you faced doing that and some creative problem solving that you've had to do. But that opportunity came about before the first festival could sort of fully mature and turn into a thing, right? And you hit some snags with that, and then this opportunity kind of presented itself.
Yeah, I mean, it presented itself at a really great time. With our first festival, you know, we ended up in a lawsuit after having that festival stolen out from underneath us from one of our partners that we were talking about working with. But it came at a really good time because I was sitting there going, okay, what now? Like, I was planning on doing this music festival. I was in the middle of just starting to record a new project. And so it came into my life and my world really at the perfect time when I had the time and ability to dedicate to it, which was great. And you know, it's one thing that was actually kind of a blessing in disguise with COVID. It gave me that time to be able to finish working on my music project, to be able to put in the time needed to be able to get this second festival off the ground. Because if I would have been touring or doing a lot of other things, I probably wouldn't have had the creative brain power to be able to focus on it. Because even though it's more on the business side, that is still something creative. You are making something from nothing. And it's all of the issues and problems like, okay, well, you know, how do we handle this walkway, or where do we get this permit, or where, and all of those things still take a creative brain power, even though it's a different kind of creative brain power than, let's say, writing a song.
Tell us about that. Like, problems, you had to get permits, you had to, you know, we wrote down a few things, but event logistics, where you can put the stage, where you're going to have the audience, you need permits. You probably have to worry about promotion. You probably have to worry about sponsorship. Each one of those is a humongous obstacle. And so, creatively speaking, how were you able to kind of figure out how to get around those obstacles?
I honestly just sort of applied the same thing that I do with music in that realm as well. So first I sat down and was like, okay, well, is this festival possible in the location and in the way that it's being presented? Like, can we do this? Is this something that can make money? So that was the first question. And then it was putting together a business plan. Okay. And as you put together a business plan, you can kind of foresee maybe where some of the problems are going to be. And so you start to think some of those things through as you're sort of putting it together. And then you dive into building those relationships of the team and the people that can help you solve those problems, because you're only one person. You can only do so much, and you have to take your fate and your business into your own hands. But you do also have to learn when to be able to delegate or to trust other people in these regards. So it's really just about tackling one problem at a time and making sure that you can foresee the whole way, like, you know, making an outline of here's where all of the obstacles might be in whatever venture I'm, you know, coming up with, whether it's, you know, a promotion or how are we going to get this permit or how am I going to, you know, create this structure or whatever. You have to have the whole vision and then you start at the beginning working your way there and problem solving incrementally as you go, because you can't take all of that on at one time. Otherwise it would just be too overwhelming. And I think that's where a lot of people get, is that they just don't know where to start, or they think about all of the details that go into creating something, especially something large, and get overwhelmed with all the work that it's going to take to do it. So don't psych yourself out. Like, you can do this. And if you tackle it one bit at a time, all of a sudden you're going to look up and it will all be done and you'll be there.
People think creativity is just magic and inspiration and mystical, and it's not. As you've said multiple times, it's where preparation meets opportunity.
No matter what the problem is that I'm trying to tackle, I try and think of it like playing chess. So again, think about the end place that you need to get and then work your way backwards, right? Like, how can you get to that end result? And thinking five or six moves ahead. And sometimes that is starting at the end and working your way backwards, or starting at the beginning and working your way there. And I know that's not like super specific, but, you know, for this festival that I'm working on in Florida, it's a very tight-knit community. So how can you break into those circles, which is something I think that people deal with a lot in Nashville as well. It's about putting yourself in the right places. So, you know, for example, you know, there was somebody that we needed to talk to who was the person to go to for permits. So how can I get to them and how can I make that connection to where I've got a good connection, not just, you know, sending them a cold email, because most of the time that's not going to work. So, you know, you go to, okay, well, who do they hang out with? You kind of have to turn into a little bit of a stalker sometimes, you know, like not in a creepy way, but figure out how you can get in front of those right people and go out from their circle and see if there's any connection that you do have that you can get in with, and where you can get that warm handoff to be able to get into the room that you need to get into.
A lot of times those connections are second or third degree. Like, that's, absolutely, you know, LinkedIn is famous for second and third, you know, connections or whatever. But you know somebody that you're trying to get a permit, and you know a guy who is a contractor. The contractor might be the one that knows how to get that for you. Or you may know a homeowner who just went through this, and they refer you to a third party, and that person knows, well, that's my nephew. You know,
right.
You never know.
Yeah. I mean, life is about people. And no matter what business you're in, that is true. So building good, solid relationships and making sure that they are genuine relationships will pay off in dividends in the end.
So for this festival, I imagine in addition to all the logistical things, you have certain responsibilities, like you have to book talent, there's safety concerns, there's promotion, marketing. And some of those aspects have direct corollaries to your own independent music career. You have to book yourself.
Absolutely.
You have to promote yourself. You are in search of sponsorship. Maybe compare and contrast what you do for the festival versus how you approach those same things in yourself?
I think that it all eventually gets to be about the same thing. Like you can apply the same strategies to no matter what industry or thing that you're working in. It's just about kind of shifting the lens a little bit. Because obviously if I'm booking for myself, it's a lot different than if I'm trying to book a different artist. I'm playing a different role in that sense. And there's different, you know, steps or responsibilities or strategies on how you do each of those things. I think the thing that is the biggest is that I'm always a student. I love to challenge myself and I love to learn. And you can't be afraid to be new at something or ask the questions, or, you know, if you're going through the work to try and educate yourself, to try and grow, to try and constantly be bettering yourself, then you're on the right path.
My dad was always good about acting like he knew, even when he didn't, and pulling that off. Mm-hmm. You know, like he was the kind of person that could walk in with the right attitude to a backstage and blow right past a security guard just by having the look on his face and the
acting like you belong.
The kind of a walk that the person who knows exactly what they would be doing there would have. And so, you know, a lot of I would imagine when you book yourself, like for me, I try not to ask yes or no questions. I try to say, like, when can I start? Not, can I start? Right.
Yeah.
So like, if you're trying to book yourself at a place that you really want to play, do you find that you go into it sort of with the mindset that I'm already going to be playing here, buddy? It's just a matter of what day you give me.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yeah.
Confidence.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely have to have confidence. One of the things I've been working on for myself recently is having that confidence and having it come across in, like, say, an email communication. It's one of the things, you know, I want to seem like nice and I want to seem sweet and I don't want to seem overly demanding. So, you know, you say some things like, oh, well, would you mind X or whatever? What I'm realizing now is that psychologically that puts a barrier or a blockage in someone's mind already. If you say, would you mind doing X? Well, then it's in their mind that, oh, maybe I should mind doing this. Mm. So to your point, having that confidence, having that belief, and sometimes confidence comes from just acting like you're confident even when you're not. And then the confidence grows from there. Because nobody's confident all the time. And I still have moments often where I'm like, oh no, what do I do? Are they going to respond? Oh, you know, and not letting those thoughts overtake the positive thoughts in your mind, because your self-talk in your head will mess you up more than anything else will if you don't have control of that.
Another thing is with communication is using the word just.
Yes.
I just wanted to see if, or I yes. just wanted, it's like, you got to get rid of the word just.
You're preaching to the choir. I'm so bad at that.
I think the things that you're talking about, confidence, being prepared, those things in and of themselves are not creative. Like, confidence isn't creative. It's like a cooking recipe. Salt is not creative. Olive oil is not creative. Green onions are not creative. What's creative is how you mix them, when you decide to add them in the cooking process, how much you decide to add. And confidence and preparation and research, those things are dry, boring, and technical. But what's creative is how you mix them together and when you decide to use more of one than the other and to whom you decide, you know, to do that in front of. It's like, okay, that's what makes you different than someone else who is confident and prepared and has done their research. But in the mixture of those three things, that's a very creative mixture in order to get you to the result that you want.
Absolutely. And one of the other things that I've really had to focus on this year is recognizing my own talents. I think that people do this a lot where you're good at something, someone will be good at something, so you naturally assume that everyone else is good at that same thing. And I've found that where there's certain talents or gifts that I have of a large creative eye, or being able to see into the future, being able to plan five steps ahead, the vision kind of things, where I'm starting to realize that, oh, maybe that is a gift that I have, and not everybody can see those things in that way. And there's a lot of things, you know, that other people can do a lot better than I am, but we have to start recognizing in ourselves what is inherently creative and what we are inherently good at. And that doesn't make us selfish. It doesn't make us cocky. It doesn't make us anything. It is recognizing the gifts that you are able to bring and offer to the world. And we each have our own gifts. And by not recognizing that, you are not only doing yourself a disservice, but the rest of the world a disservice. So recognize where you're the brilliant chef putting all of those ingredients in the right place.
So one of the things I wanted to kind of talk to you about a little bit is I think I know where this is going, but you have sort of vertically integrated your own music career with a next level music festival, right? So I'm assuming you're performing at this music festival. Am I right?
Yeah. Well, for the all-female music festival, I was definitely going to perform for this festival I'm working on in Florida. I probably will end up performing, but I think it's going to depend on, you know, how much work that is first year. I'll definitely end up performing, but maybe not this first year. We'll see. Because I want it to go off without a hitch, and I don't want to have to kind of have myself pulled in a lot of different directions, but that's definitely still on the table. And, you know, that's where these music festivals came about. You have to do something to make yourself stand out from the crowd, whether it's music or anything else. And I realized that I was able to give myself my own platform. As a woman, I wasn't as booked as much or paid as much as the guys were. There was one festival in particular that I played. It was a very large music festival, and my guy friend was also playing on this music festival, another male artist, and I had the better slot than he did. I had Saturday, I had the evening, I was technically a bigger draw than he was, and we were friends, and somehow I ended up seeing his check when we were backstage, and I realized that he got paid six times as much as I did.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And I wanted to create my own platform so that I could show and create my own worth, because I've never been the type to just wait on somebody else to give me anything. I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit ever since I was a kid. And so when I started these music festivals, people originally, a lot of people on my team were thinking, well, now you're not focused on your music, or now, you know, you're doing this other thing, so your music career isn't as important. And that's not the case at all. I am using this as a way to build myself up both as a businesswoman and as an artist. And, you know, I hope that those things get to correlate with each other and create something that is bigger than just being a music artist. And especially nowadays, I mean, what do they say, that most millionaires or billionaires, something, have like 9 revenue streams? So why are we still so focused on only having to do one thing? Now, that's not to say that you can spread yourself thin and do everything half-assed, but you can create an empire for yourself that all feeds into the success of your overall career well-being.
Which then kind of serves your purpose, your other purpose, which is paying people fairly, and you get to knock some things off your list.
Absolutely.
By having that position of power or strength, it kind of enables you to do the things that you want to do outside of music, maybe, or as far as paying people correctly and being the right kind of a promoter that you want to be, because you've probably experienced plenty of shitty promoters.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you have the opportunity when you pull this off to fix a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. And I think if you want to be able to change the world, you have to put yourself in a position to win. If you don't have enough excess resources, whether that's time or money or creativity or anything else, you can't then give that to anyone else. You have to put yourself in a position of power, in a position to win, a position of success, in order to be able to implement the change that you maybe want to see in other places.
Yeah, I think you have to be, you have to be able to change your world before you can change the world.
Amen.
And that is, you know, a larger version of eating the elephant one bite at a time, right? It's like, okay, let's be known regionally and nationally before I'm known internationally, right? Or let's be acclaimed for a handful of things that I've done in a very specific arena before I'm known as someone who can apply that to almost any industry or situation. And so what's most important to you? What is going to affect you most directly? Tackle that and then let it expand, you know, beyond that if it does. But even if it doesn't, you'll be happy because you've affected your world.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I think patience is a big thing because none of this stuff happens overnight. No successful business is built overnight. It's like the, you know, 10-year overnight success type of thing. And I'm definitely one of those people that wants things and wants it right now and wants it to move fast. And I do run quickly. And so I think if you're trying to move too quickly or if you're expecting things too quickly, you are going to end up devaluing yourself and not waiting for who's going to step up to give you your true worth because you think you're falling behind, especially nowadays with looking at social media and you're always looking at other people's highlight reels and, you know, and it's easy. You know, I have people come up to me all the time like, oh my God, your life looks amazing. And I'm sitting here on my couch being like, oh, I'm like, oh yeah. Well, I guess if you look at my Instagram, it looks pretty badass, but like, you know, I'm sitting here in quarantine like everyone else during COVID, you know? So making sure that you're patient with yourself and with the process, creatively or otherwise, build everything on a solid foundation. Don't feel the need to have to rush through all of this because to be cheesy, it really is about the journey. It's enjoying the entire way. If I could just snap my fingers and give you everything that you wanted right now, you would have missed the whole process of being able to create it, which is what we're talking about right here, the creativity of being able to build something and creating something with your own two hands and then stepping back at the end and seeing what you were able to create. And that is so rewarding. It's so much more rewarding than just getting it right away.
You've talked a little bit about kind of your long-term plans and, you know, I don't want to put you in a spot, but I will.
Perfect.
So long-term, do you see yourself as a festival promoter? Do you see yourself as a musician? Like if you could sort of choose your own path, which obviously we all can, but you know, do you see yourself as an internationally touring musician, singer-songwriter? Do you see yourself as a festival promoter that does the top 12 festivals in the world or something, or a third option? Is there a third option that I want to be a poet? You know, what do you want to do long-term?
Yes. To answer your question.
All of it.
All the things. Yeah, no, I mean, I want to, you know, put on the original festival that we had planned. We're going to be putting on this festival in Fort Lauderdale. I'm releasing a brand new music project. I want to be a multi-platinum selling Grammy and CMA award winning artist. And I want to, you know, have the top music festivals in the world. And I would love to become an author. I think I've got quite the crazy story that I've, you know, lived through in the last, you know, 10 years, 8 years since I moved to Nashville. And, you know, one of my goals eventually is to start a foundation for women. It's very important to me on that give back factor. And I'm open to see where, you know, the universe takes me after that. Like, I don't think that I need to put myself in a box or limit. And right now that's kind of the vision of what I have. But I actually have this tattoo that I got on my wrist, and it is an ampersand, an and symbol. And it's my reminder, because it is my mantra, that it's manifested in a world of my own creation, and it's all this and something better. So whatever the universe decides to bring me, I'm going to plan my life, and then I'm open and accepting of everything that I'm planning and something better. It's my reminder that I'm worthy to have everything that I'm dreaming of and more, and that's okay.
actors talk about yes and.
Yes and. Right? Exactly.
It's like yes and, mm-hmm. and just keep moving.
Yeah. Yeah. So important.
I'm curious about the ways you promote yourself. You know, Chris and I are professional artists also in, you know, a variety of disciplines, and we're constantly trying to get people interested in what we're doing. You're constantly trying to get people interested in what you're doing. What are some of the most creative ways that you've come up with to promote yourself, or what are some ways that, some techniques, if you want to think of it like this, that you can, that you are able to recognize opportunity? I find that a lot of people say, I can't do this or I can't do that. Well, I just don't have the opportunity. And a lot of times the opportunity is right in front of them. They just don't know how to recognize it. But I'm curious about creative ways that you've undertaken to promote yourself or things like that.
I mean, honestly, I think that promoting myself is one space where I'm still a student and still learning. It's very easy for me to be on stage to, you know, speak or be the center of attention. One thing that I'm not very good at and that I don't enjoy at all is social media. I don't like it. I find that when I'm constantly on social media or feeling like I need to take pictures for social media, that I'm pulled out of the moment, or I feel like I'm comparing myself or having to live up to this thing. And I find it very stressful, to be honest with you. So that's one space of my life where I still run my own social media, but I try as hard as I can to give that to somebody else, to hire a publicist, to hire a social media manager, to, you know, we all have things in our business that we love to do and things that we don't like to do. So where is it in your life or in your business or in your creativity that is draining your energy? Where is it that is draining your creativity that you don't feel like yourself? And then take those things and give them to somebody else, hire somebody for that. You don't have to be good at all of the things all the time. I think the one place where I am good at promoting myself is just if I'm in person, if I'm on stage. I don't have any problem making myself the center of attention in that way, but figure out where your weaknesses are and find somebody to help you in those areas. And then the places where you're great, go for it and just do it.
Speaking of promotion, you mentioned it's hard sometimes to promote yourself. And that's always been the case for us as well. It's like, it's difficult to go to a client and say, I'm the shit, you need to hire me.
Yeah.
You know, which is what you need to say or what you feel like saying, but it's hard. Do you find that promoting yourself is more difficult than promoting a festival? Because the festival, even though you're the creator of it, it's not the same as promoting yourself as a musician. Mm-hmm. You're promoting a thing versus yourself. Do you find that to be easier?
I find that promoting myself is something that you have to learn to do. You have to learn to be okay with. It comes with an inner confidence. My mentor and the program director that got me my first gig, after I was done performing, she came up to me and she gave me a compliment. I don't remember exactly what she said. And I, you know, instinctively did the thing like, oh, well, you know, like it was all right or whatever. And she put her hand on my arm and said, stop, just look me in the eye and say thank you. And it's learning to accept those moments of appreciation. And when you stop trying to make yourself small or justify away your gifts or someone's compliments, it's hard to do at first. You want to seem humble. You want to seem grateful, but you can do that in a way that isn't self-deprecating. And I think it's this slow build of creating that confidence and being okay with receiving those compliments. And then recognizing that in an industry like we are in with creativity of being a musician, you are the product. So a bit of detachment helps as well, so that you don't feel like, oh, well, I'm just being egotistical. you realize that your voice or your music or your videography or your photography, whatever that is the product, not you. And so it's creating a bit of delineation between your person and what you're creating. And that makes it a lot easier because, yes, promoting something that's like a music festival or, you know, selling a cell phone or whatever it might be is probably a lot easier than selling yourself, because it feels off to a lot of people to have that confidence to be able to do that. So start just by being able to receive a compliment, and then start by kind of trying to separate a little bit. And I think that that helps a lot.
Just thinking of creative ways for promotion. A friend of mine a long time ago, he was a photographer like Chris and I started out being, and he came up with a promotion idea for himself. He had 100 fortune cookies made and put fortunes inside them that were custom written that pertained to him and his photography. And they didn't name him, but they talked about photography and a certain kind of photography. And he targeted 100 people that he wanted to work with. And he sent them in like a Chinese takeout package, this one fortune cookie. And it didn't have his name on it or anything. But 4 or 5 days after they got that, they got another package that was his portfolio. And there was a graphic packaging tie-in to the Chinese takeout box so that they could make the association that the fortune cookie, you know, later they would realize, oh, the fortune cookie came from him. And he followed that up with images in a portfolio that were along the lines of what he had written on the fortune inside the cookie. And he was always remembered for that promotion, because it was so unique and different and expensive and hard to organize and, you know, just difficult to execute. But he kind of put all of his eggs in that one basket and then used that, you know, to leverage to its greatest power. And he was able to land, I think he ended up getting maybe 3 jobs from that, but one job paid for the whole thing. And he ended up getting, you know, three or so jobs from that, and was forever remembered, you know, for that. So that kind of creativity and just thinking about what is it, what sets you apart? Like you've touched on a couple of times today. How are you different? What's your voice?
I love that idea. That's really brilliant. Yeah. I mean, you have to set yourself apart, which is hard sometimes, especially you look online and you see somebody that in your mind looks successful and what they're doing. And, you know, there's a certain amount of watching what other people are doing to kind of learn the tricks of the trade or see what's working. But sometimes you can fall into the trap of trying to be too much like them. And you don't want that. You want to do something that is going to make yourself stand out. Be you. And authenticity connects so much more than anything else does. You know, everybody has their struggles that they go through in life. Everybody has their ups. Everybody has their downs. And you don't have to be perfect all the time. And thinking outside of the box with something like that, I love that. That's really brilliant.
How many other great ideas? There are probably hundreds, you know, that are just, that you're just waiting to have. Like, it's just, you just haven't had the idea. And when you do, you'll recognize it immediately. You're like, I've got to do that. Like, this is something that would set me apart.
Absolutely. You need to open yourself up to those ideas. It's, you know, I've got a list on my phone. I've got 2 actually. One list for any time I think of anything that is, could be a song title or a song idea. It's very dangerous to hang out with me, because if you say something, I drive my husband crazy. He'll start talking and I'll just get out my phone and he's like, are you writing down what I'm saying for a song again? I'm like, yes, I am. Or, you know, I've got another list where it's anytime any sort of business idea pops into my head, I write it down, whether that's related to a business I've already started or whether it's a completely new business. And it doesn't mean that I'm going to chase down any of those things, but you have to learn to recognize and cultivate your creativity, because creativity is very much a whisper in my experience, and learning to listen to that whisper and not, oh, well, that's dumb, or like, oh, I'm sure somebody already did that. Most of the things that I've done and been successful at, people are like, oh my God, nobody else has done that. Why? I'm like, right. Like it's very simple. Like some of the most, you know, amazing inventions that have made so much money are extremely simple. Like the wheels on the suitcase, or, you know, what's that little chuck it thing that, you know, throw a tennis ball for dogs. Or there's a very wealthy gentleman that I know that invented the box for cereal. So he gets a royalty for any time someone buys a box of cereal. I'm like, every time I see him, I'm like, I'm just making everything way too hard. I need to just, you know, step it down a little bit. So no idea is too big, no idea is too small. And learning to cultivate those creative ideas when they do pop into your head will bring you more of them.
As we wrap up every episode, we like to ask our guest, what is their most recent impulse buy? And you get to go first, and then we'll go.
I feel like I'm really bad at impulse buying. Like I do it all the time. But I had a very random one recently. I have the front part of my cartilage, my ear pierced, and you actually have to go in and get those changed at like a tattoo shop or something. And I haven't changed that earring since I got it pierced. And so I just went and got a new rose gold one. It's very cute. And I'm very happy about it.
Excellent. So Mark, what is your most recent impulse buy?
I bought just a wireless speaker for the garage, just because I like to have music in there. And I wasn't super planning on it. I was like, I need to get a speaker in here. And then all of a sudden I just did it. So
it just happened.
That is what impulse buys do.
It happened to me. Right. It happened to me.
Do you think that my husband would believe that if I use that excuse?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. You should try it. You should try.
I'll let you know how it goes.
I bet Jake will buy that in a minute. Yeah. So my impulse buy this week is I bought an offset smoker.
Ooh.
I am going to start cooking some Texas brisket.
Can I come over for dinner?
Yes.
Can I come over for breakfast?
I haven't fired it up yet, but I have a friend that has, well, I have an in-law that has a way to buy at the restaurant store where the restaurants buy. So this weekend I'm going to go check out the pork butts and the whatnots and see what kind of meat I'm going to smoke.
Oh, making me want summer and barbecues.
Yeah. We cannot thank you enough for coming today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This has been so much fun.
It has been great to hear your take on creativity and all the ways that you're implementing creativity for your music festival and for your professional life. And where can we find more information on you? I've got a couple of notes here, like your raysolomonmusic.com.
Yep.
And Instagram and Facebook.
Yep, everything is Ray Solomon Music. So at Ray Solomon Music, raysolomonmusic.com. I've got my new project that's coming out. So I'll be releasing one single about every 8 weeks starting at the end of April. So I'm excited about that. And I've got an email list. If you go to my website, you can sign up. I usually send out an email once every month or two. I don't spam you like crazy, but you can kind of keep up on all of the happenings of music and the festivals and all the things that I'm working on as well.
Are you on TikTok?
Yeah. You know, I feel like I missed the boat on this. I had somebody on my team a couple of years ago who's like, you've got to get on TikTok. So I downloaded it. I got on TikTok and I was like, it's one more thing. I just can't handle it. Yeah. I hate it. I can't handle it. And now, of course, TikTok is massive. So I guess I should get back on TikTok, but I guess I missed the early train. Well, you know?
I'm not ticking or talking. I'm doing neither.
Me neither.
It's horrible.
I had no idea how, I mean, of course, you know, when it first came out, I was like, how the hell do I even use this? I can't do it.
Right.
I'm not doing it. So you can find me on Instagram or Pinterest or Facebook or Twitter, which I haven't been on my Twitter page in a while. Like I said, I'm bad at the social media thing, but I'm getting better, guys. I promise.
I don't see that a whole lot of value in Twitter myself.
I mean, I'm just far too sarcastic to be on Twitter. I feel like I'd get myself in trouble.
You should follow Ricky Gervais on Twitter.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I bet you that's amazing.
It's a bucket of fun. Yeah. We want to thank Ray for coming by today, and also our sponsor, NOCE College of Art and Design, for helping us make this episode possible. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite player so you never miss an episode. To follow Penumbra Entertainment on Instagram and Facebook, and to make your way over to the website, penumbra-ent.com, for the show notes, where you'll find links to everything we discussed today, as well as some bonus material that you don't want to miss.
Ooh.
I don't know what that is yet, but when I figure it out, you don't want to miss it.
Thanks, guys.
For sure.
We'll see you next time on another episode of the Creativity in Motion podcast. Meanwhile, don't forget, it's the journey, not the destination.